Flex, episode 38. From Wizard World Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Why are all these men in our room?
And our guests...
Who are you?
Are, well, pretty much everyone that came to Wizard World.
The whole con is here!
The whole con is here! I guess
nobody,
what?
There'll be nobody on the forum to talk about this.
Nobody listening because we've all lived.
We'll be posting B-Bowls will be on there going, what, was it fun?
We will have everyone introduce themselves real quickly from left to right on your iPod. First.
I'm Dustin Drace.
Yay.
Sean Whalen.
Hey. Jim Segulin.
From Raging Bullets. Raging Bullets, guys. Hey.
Pat Loika.
From Past Armageddon.
Tom Caters. Dave Wachter.
Artist of Scar Tissue.
Dan Corbett.
Yes, Paper Cut from Paper the Forum.
No, I'm Tom Caters. No, this is Matt S.
Vince P.
David Price.
Neil Gorman from the Comicology Podcast.
Yay!
God.
Mark Beatty.
Same difference. And slightly different.
Chip Copeland.
All right, guys, everyone, welcome aboard. This is kind of our in-progress Wizard World Chicago wrap-up. Want to talk about...
Oh, God, is it over?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. We have hours to go. It is, as we speak here, it is Saturday evening. We took a little break from the festivities to herd a big group of us back to the hotel room, and as Mark said, it is the gayest thing ever.
It's if there's a stripper coming, this would be perfect.
It's a bachelor party, but there isn't.
Because there's no stripper coming, sure, it now becomes the largest gay event ever in this hotel room.
We've got a really interesting mix of folks here. We have creators, we have exhibitors, we have fans, we've got fellow podcasters. So it's really
and still no women.
And still no.
And who says there's no women in comic books? Just not in this room.
Well, I tell you, let's start off with just some convention highlights, and we'll work around the room. Dan, you're the man holding the microphone. Convention highlight from this point.
Anytime now.
You, Dan.
I don't know. It's meeting all the creators have been just a blast. They've been very friendly and very giving, especially Ronan Studio guys.
The Ronan guys are great, as always.
This is an idea. Don't do this.
Oh.
Dustin?
Don't point with your microphone.
I had a great time meeting all the creators. It's kind of an honor to meet all these people who you spend so much time with in the privacy of your own home and actually see these people that spent hours and hours slaving upon their...
What are you
doing
with those people?
Whoa, that's for me to know. All right. It's just so cool to finally meet the people responsible for these great books that give us this forum to talk about. I mean, that's why we're here, to talk about what they do.
Ass kisser. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's also cool to meet all the nerds dressed in costumes. That was pretty awesome.
Nice. Sean Whelan from Raging Bullets.
Besides meeting all of you guys, buying a suitcase to take all my stuff home that I bought. I really did. I had to buy another suitcase.
Sean and David Price, I picked up at the airport or met at the airport to take the train. And just to get to this convention this week was, I mean, it was an epic journey.
20 minutes for me, baby.
Sean, how long on the tarmac in Cleveland?
Oh, geez. I was supposed to leave at 7:30 Chicago time. And what time did I actually meet up with you?
11:30. He calls me. He's like, we've been sitting for 3 hours. Haven't left the airport yet. So
we taxied for so long that they actually were going to turn the plane around to refuel because they couldn't get a flight out because of the storm. So
now your partner on Raging Bullets, Jim. How was your trip getting here?
Getting here was actually not too bad. It was the leaving work was a pain in the ass because every time I went to leave, someone gave me something else to do, and they just what was supposed to be a half day turned into a full day, and then I'm rushing to the airport. Once I got to the airport, everything was pretty cool.
Pat Loika, good buddy from San Diego, get your thoughts not just on convention highlights, but I mean, you're a San Diego native. San Diego Con is your home convention. A quick comparison for people that have not been to both or maybe been to one or the other. Difference between San Diego Con and Wizard World Chicago.
Between the two conventions, San Diego is a bit more impersonal. It's gotten too big, and it's gotten to that point where you can't really see everything. You have 5 days to go through everything, but you only have... you have so much time, but there's way too many people and there's way too much stuff going on. You'll never see everything. Chicago, on the other hand, was a lot better in a way because it's not as big. It's about half the size of San Diego, literally. At the same time, though, it's a bit more intimate. There's this feeling going on, and all the creators seem to be having they're a bit more laid back here than they are in San Diego. So you can get getting sketches and getting commissions is a lot easier here than it was over there, for example.
How's the reception been at your booth? I know that you're sharing a table with Dave. How's it been here this year?
Well, it's phenomenal, way better than last year. And it's I've actually recouped my trip on the first day of the con, which is amazing. I've never had that happen before.
I walk up to Pat last night and I go, Pat, how was your first day at the show? And he's like, I am a rich
I'm
man.
I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah, I can go home. I don't have to come back here.
Well, talk to your booth mate, Dave. Strangest sketch request of the show so far.
They haven't been really that strange. I had two people looking for the Golden Age Batwoman. Two people in a row. So that was kind of weird because people don't usually ask for that one. She dresses in yellow, by the way. So it's just like a bat.
She was like a bat.
Yeah.
The yellow bat from
Don't
Asia
forget her bat purse.
Yes, that's right, because every good super heroine needs a purse to keep her, bat lipstick in so she can
her look battering.
She also has a bat kitchen.
Her bat earrings, her not batarangs.
What's your favorite sketch request, Ben, for the show so far?
I don't even know. I the ones I always like the best are the kids, when the kids want a request. Not a drawing of a kid. David Price is over there.
That could be bad, Dave.
No, yeah. Stop it. That's just wrong. All right, okay. No, but when you get the kids and they say, well, I don't really have any money, but could you just draw my favorite is Johnny Torch and I think he's great or whatever. And I had a father and son. And I had actually seen them last year, and I did, and they just get little headshots and I do the headshots for free. And I remember them from last year, and I did little headshots for them. And I think it's cool when you see the father and the son come to a show together, and it's encouraging. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy. In a good, clean, wholesome way. You purrs.
Dave, if you've never seen Dave is very fuzzy looking.
I am. Yeah. Fuzzy.
Well, to our next fuzzy guest, Matt, convention highlight.
Oh, sleeping in the same room with you, Chris. No, I got to be honest. Really, my main reason we're
editing that out so quick.
My main reason for coming down here really wasn't the con. I mean, it wasn't the comics, it wasn't the creators. It was just a chance to meet and hang out with everybody that has been on the forum, people from our forum, from CGS forums, from all over the damn place. So that's been a cool part of the trip, and I don't know. Meeting Tony Danza today. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll get to that joke in a minute.
Anyway, also seeing Blore was Blore. Pretty cool.
Blore? Blore.
Black Thor.
Yes, the Black Thor. Yeah.
Sorry.
Pictures that are phenomenal. So, yeah, we'll post the pictures.
Dustin spent his entire day today taking pictures of nothing but people in costumes.
When I was telling people that I was going to this convention, I was like, yeah, it's going to be about me and 40,000 of my closest nerds. So everybody's like, well, you got to get pictures. So everybody I saw, I stopped every single one. It was great. I've got about 70 photos. So of all people in costumes. So.
We are going to have the most massive ever picture thread for the recap. Neil, a fellow podcaster, highlights.
One thing I was just going to respond to the costumes thing. I don't know if anybody has ever seen this. Warren Ellis calls these conventions nerd proms. And if you do take pictures and upload them to Flickr, you can tag them with nerd prom. And if you want to browse the nerd prom tag, you'll see several things, which are sometimes disturbing and sometimes amusing.
The highlight pretty much wraps up the thing you choose, whether you want disturbing or
that is out of your control completely.
Nerd prom disturbing. I'm going to look that one up.
I think I'm registering that URL, nerdprom.com. Look for it as a sub-site of Around Comics.
The highlight for the convention, I'd say, is I've been going around to all the different panels that are being hosted here, and I'm asking the same question at every single one, and that is if the various companies that are there are going to ever start distributing comic books in a digital format. And I've gotten some very encouraging answers from both Marvel and from Vertigo. However, just the main DC people gave me a very discouraging answer, actually.
Well, tell them about the Jeff Loeb Quesada bet.
That was what I was actually going to say. I brought it up at the Marvel Ultimate Universe panel, and the reason for asking it there is that the Ultimate Universe seemed to be something that Marvel uses to draw in a new generation of readers to Marvel Comics, and it seems like the generation of comic book readers now is getting a lot of their entertainment content online. They go to MySpace, they use iTunes, and that's their main way of consuming this kind of thing. And Quesada pretty much agreed with that sentiment, and he said at one point that he believes that digital comics are the future of comics. And also he thinks that they're going to be great because they can make comic books cheaper right now, which was very encouraging. And then he said in 30 years he doesn't believe people will be reading paper comics, at which point Jeff Loeb jumped in and made him a $100 bet that in 10 years people would still be reading paper comic books, and they kind of like kept on one-upping each other. The end result was a $1,000 bet between the two that in 30 years Loeb says people are going to still read paper comics. Quesada says they won't. After they shook on it, Loeb said all he has to do is live for another 30 years and he gets $1,000 from Joe Quesada.
Nice. Let's jump over to the side of the room. David Price, you came in from Westchester, New York. Probably my highlight of the con was meeting this
guy. Was watching David's head turn purple whenever Dave Wachter does his Christopher Walken impersonation?
Yes, exactly.
I thought it was the sexy pose that he was doing. David's
a guy that I've known through forums for about, you know, what, over a year now, and we talk all the time on Skype, and, you know, is just a friend of mine that I've never met in person, and it was great to, you know, saw him in the airport, so, David, oh, how you doing? But, yeah, your convention highlight so far?
Probably right now, but before this, no, it was, it is being here mostly. It's just been nonstop fun, just seeing everybody getting off the plane. The plane ride itself wasn't nothing I'd really rather repeat, but it was just nonstop from Thursday night to now, and I'm sure tomorrow will be to continue, but just going around, meeting people, meeting everybody, getting in some sketches, getting a crap load of comments.
I was going to say, we hope that your wife doesn't hear this podcast, because David bought probably like, you know, 100 pounds worth of comics.
It's like the suitcase outside the suitcase. I don't know how it's getting home yet.
We're sending out a huge package because there's no way you're getting that on the plane.
But it has been a great time. It's absolutely a blast.
And the other guy that I was just so happy to find out that he was coming in is Vince. And Vince, highlight for the show so far.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday to Vince.
Happy birthday, Vince! Yeah.
Well, now we have a reason for the stripper.
All right.
Like, you need a reason.
Dave, stop.
The ball's back on.
No.
You should be close to me.
All right.
I did it as Christopher Walken.
Vince, what was your highlight?
Initially, the draw for me was the fact that John Romita Jr. was going to be here. And I think the guy's God, you know, so I said, well, I have to come. But right now, I'd have to say the best part of the con is you know, hanging out with all my friends except Matt. That was pretty bad. He tries to touch me when I'm asleep.
I like this guy.
And I liked it. I'm sorry. You know, just meeting everybody. Dan, Mark, this pool this behind guy. Me. Mr. Price, Sean,
been making Google eyes since you've been sitting there the whole time. Behind you, doing this, he's looking at like this, doing this.
The insane Dave Wachter. It's just been great, just to meet everybody like Chris, Sal. That we hang around on the forum all every day. We never really get to know these people, other than the crap they post on the forum. So that's been the highlight for me, just hanging out. And, you know, it wasn't the panels. Panels were great. Mm-hmm. You know, Brian Wood. Gave a great panel.
Great panel.
We sat through that, and the Civil War panel was great. But the best part of the con is hang out with you guys.
Is that?
Oh. It is time to weep now. Let's weep and talk.
There was crying.
Look it out.
Chip, Week Rocker on our forum.
I have to say that this is my first Comic Con ever, so it was great, and you know. The first thing I did was I went over to Moonstone's booth and talked to Mike Oliveri from Werewolf Call of the Wild, because I lost my Erotic Comics map. My printer broke, so I was like, hey, I know he's going to be over at Moonstone. So that was the first guy I met and talked to, and I ended up talking to him for a long time, actually. And then I went over to Dave's table at the Ronin booth and talked to him for quite a while. And he's got a sketch coming for me. I told him put it off till next week though, because he's so backed up, some other stuff. So it was really cool. And Tony Moore, you know, I made some T-shirts in graphic arts class. So
that very was, cool T-shirts.
Yeah, very cool Walking Dead shirts.
And he, you know, I walked up and I was like, the person he was sitting with, the guy was like, you know, hey, that's a cool T-shirt, because I was wearing the same T-shirt that I made for him. And then I was just like, here's four T-shirts. I made them. You know, here you go. And he was like, wow, that's like the coolest thing I've gotten in a long time. So he gave me one of his T-shirts in return and, you know, signed my hardcover Walking Dead. You know, gave it to me at a considerable discount. I'm not going
to... Gave him a passkey to his room.
Really, yeah. But that was, that, you know, to meet somebody you really like their artwork. And, you know, and not just him, but, you know, Pat did an excellent hair star from
Creature
for me.
Nice. Nice,
that
Pat.
Was full real color. Nice, Pat.
And also the free, David Peterson or Patterson from the Mouse Guard?
Oh yeah,
sketch. That was also really
yeah. Chip got a sketch from Mouse Guard that is it is an absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I've seen so many amazing sketches all weekend long. Sal, what are some of the sketches that you've gotten?
I got a really cool Andy Park sketch. He did for me a cap
with a nice word balloon.
Well, you have to see the word balloon. Pat did a great sketch for me of Magneto, and Dave did an awesome goon for me. Who else did I get? I'm trying to Andy Bennett.
The Badger.
I got my Badger. I got a Badger sketch from Bill Reinhold. Which was really cool.
My favorite was the Jeff Darrow sketch that you got.
Yeah, Jeff Darrow was doing free, or he was doing sketches, and he was giving all the proceeds to charity, and all he was asking was $1 for a Jeff Darrow sketch. So I gave him a 20, and he did me an awesome sketch of Shaolin Cowboy. And the sketches, I've seen some pretty amazing stuff, and I never really got into sketches before last year, really. I had gotten some, and... and it really is kind of cool to sort of bring that with, you know, back home with you, those kind of things. And not so much, you know, it's like collecting guys, you know, collecting these artists. That's not really what I enjoy about it, but meeting them and you know, if it's somebody whose work I appreciate or somebody that you, we've had the fortune of getting to know some of these guys and, you know, getting them to do sketches for you because you've had whatever experience with them is really cool. So
that's great. Mr. Beatty, you're probably the vendor here. You know, you've got the big comic shop booth here. Your con experience to this point, because you're like, you know,
show us that wad of money.
you're like Dave and Pat. You have to kind of stay grounded at a con. So come into a convention literally. Is different for you because you have very limited access to go out and see all the bright shiny lights like we do.
Yeah, making me very happy by telling me this.
Sorry.
Reminding me of the 2 days I've been standing in the same fucking 20-foot area.
Yeah, it's nice because we've actually made our money back easily in the first day. Just like you guys, I mean, it's been a very good con for us. Surprisingly good, actually. We've had a good couple of days, but I don't get to go to all the different boards that you guys get to go to. I don't get a chance. I don't have that much time to go sit. But the only thing I've done, I've enjoyed walking around. I got some sketches also. I got three ones. One I'm waiting for. Ryan Otley that does Invincible is doing me a full color sketch of Captain America because that's my shtick. I get Captain America sketches from guys that may not necessarily ever work on that character, so I kind of like seeing different versions. So I've got one from him. I got one from Jeremy Hahn who does Leading Man and did Battle Him.
Yeah.
And it was a color one. I didn't expect that. It was fantastic.
Jeremy Hahn's sketches were freaking fantastic.
Yeah, and if you've never read Battle Hahn, Battle Him or Leading Man, you're missing out on two fantastic books.
Dustin got a Batgirl.
Yep.
That was
the sketch actually was fantastic.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
And then I got the piece, my favorite piece so far was from Tony Moore. I got him doing a Captain America, and he did me a Reb Brown, the 1979 Captain America from the bad movies that were made back then. And so he's got the motorcycle helmet. That's what it says.
Is that the one that wore the short
Mark Keeping school, huh?
Is that the one that wore the short shorts on the motorcycle?
No, he did. What the hell episode are you watching, man?
No, I think that was Captain America 2.
He might have had shorts on at some point.
He was working on that when he went up to his booth. I saw him doing
things. It's a fantastic. I'll have him scan it and put it on the
Tony Morse, he charges a lot for his sketches.
He does, but it was well worth every penny.
His sketches aren't sketches. They're mini commissions, really. And they're fantastic.
I thought it was fantastic. I like artists to do their own version, whoever they think is the best. And I have to admit, that's the first time anybody's done the Reb Brown Captain America, and that it just absolutely rocked. It's fantastic. I love it.
Neil,
so that's been my big thing.
Yeah, as I was walking around, I talked to a bunch of the different people in Artist Alley who were doing sketches, and I was asking them if that's how they primarily make their money at these conventions. Do they make it by doing sketches? Do they make it by selling books that they have? And pretty much everybody said they make their money by doing sketches. And I'm really curious, since we have artists in the room here, is there any other time besides conventions when you do that? I mean, do you have a website where you can, you know, say, send me a sketch request, I'll email you back, we'll work out a price and a way for me to get you the sketch, and if you don't, would you ever consider doing it?
I heard Mike Norton just whores himself up. That's where he makes most of his money.
That is true.
Mike Norton is just a big whore.
That you're one of his best customers, actually.
I definitely am. I've got a gold card.
Mike, I think Mike's had a great convention. Mike Norton, of course, if you want to hear more about Mike, listen to the Crankcast, another one of our favorite
podcasts. Yeah, Mike
podcasts.
Had a real good convention, so good, in fact, I think next year he might be charging a little more for his sketches.
Thursday night, I walk up to Mike, and he's got his hands going through his hair, and he's looking down, and he's drawing feverishly, and Mike, you doing all right? And he's like, man, I think people are right. I think I need to start charging more for my sketches. So
I told him $3 wasn't enough, though.
He's not even that far off, though. He's only, what's he charging?
It's like 25. 25. And great. And once again, Dustin, who got some great sketches, he did the Runaways character.
Nico.
He did a great Nico sketch.
But I jumped on board right away, like after you guys had him on the forum. I sent him an email. I said, I was like number two of his commission.
Nice.
So, and he, of course, he forgot. I was like, he sent me this like glowing email. He's like, thanks for being a fan.
Did he even email you back?
He did email me back almost immediately, which is almost unheard of.
Mike comes in spurts with the emails, but he'll get back with you. It just may take a couple months. Dave, Pat, Neil's sketch question. I mean, is that where you make the dough at these?
That's pretty much what pays for everything. The books are pretty much just a bonus. What I've done, to answer your question, you're asking people, you know, you take the sketch requests in advance. That's what I usually do. I post in a few forums, which have, you know, pretty good membership numbers. Like I post at Jinx World, CGS, and, of course, Rand Comics. And, you know, I started threads and asking people if they want to make a request, you know, do it now, send me a private message or send me an email. And, you know, the response was pretty good. I paid for my trip mostly through those requests, and then I was able to keep a list also. They kept, you know, people coming in, you know, daily. And like by Friday, I was able to pay for the trip and the table, which was unheard of. So after doing that, I decided, I'm going to start taking requests in advance, which worked out really well.
You liked my request, though.
Yes. That was a good request.
Yeah, Chip, what did you request?
Both Dave and Pat, I requested characters from Preacher. And I saw your rough pencils and the stuff that Dave was doing for me. He did Jesse and Cass getting in a bar fight.
Nice.
And then Pat did Hair Star screaming, screaming
Featherstone,
yes. So that was kind of, I heard about people doing themes, and I was like, well, how often do people ask for, Preacher's one of my favorite books of all time. I want to see other artists.
You ever see my lighter? Did I show you that?
That's awesome.
One of my best friends gave me for Christmas last year a "fuck communism" Zippo lighter. So there's the explicit tag.
Shit,
Dave.
Yes.
Is that? I mean, that's the door. That's how you finance your global domination plan.
Last year it sure as hell didn't, but this year it seems like a whole new thing, and I think it's mostly because of all these forums and everything, like Pat was talking about. But there's really two different things when you're like me and Pat, and you're not just doing sketches like some artists, or you're not just selling books. You're trying to do both. And each has a different purpose. The books, you're not selling to make a big profit on. You're selling to get the book out there and to get that story out there and to circulate it to as many people as possible, which means you may cut the price on them. We've been doing issue 1 through 4 of Scar Tissue for $10, so pretty much selling it at cost just so it gets out there. And that's the point of that. And then doing the sketches is to be able to, have some money to eat and drink on. But
and Dave needs a lot of money to drink on.
I'm glad I could contribute to that.
Hi, I'm Paul Jenkins, and Sal's British accent sucks a dead shit out of a dead seagull's arsehole.
Do you guys think that this year? I mean, I heard a lot of. We talked a lot of the smaller press, smaller creators, and everyone seemed to say that they had a great couple of days. That they were amazed at how many sketches they were, how many books they were selling. All these guys seem to have a phenomenal weekend. Do you think it was partially because of the lack of really big names here this year? I mean, there were some, but
that's a possibility. I mean, there's a lot of people who canceled this year, and a lot of people who went last year but didn't go this year. Like you got Mike Gatos and Michael Lark who didn't come this year, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a few others. I think also that. Because we charge really low prices for our sketches, we got a lot of people coming in. So we never leave the table except for like a few minutes here and there.
Pat and I are going to start that whole Mike Norton policy. We're going to start charging a little bit more.
Just keep going up $1 until you find your level.
$1, yeah. I can't conjecture as to whether that has. I mean, there's no way for me to know that at all. I think for me, it's really been the fact it's been getting to meet the Around Comics people and listeners and the Geek Speak people and listeners, because that's where most of it's coming from. I mean we do get a lot of people who are just walking up who are strangers, but a lot of it is the people we've met online and through the internet and stuff, and that's just been building. And
so that has really changed with conventions over the last few years is that it used to be if you're going to travel to a convention, you're going out of town and you're doing the show and you just go there. But now with forums being as huge as they are and podcasts, which we're lucky enough to be a part of that, cons can really be a destination for people that like me and Vince and David. These are guys that I know but have never met, but it was never weird whenever you guys hopped off the plane and I saw you. It was just like, these are guys I know. I've never met them, but how much has the internet and forums changed the way that we as fans go to cons? And Neil,
it's when you say that, the thing that I'm finding is throughout my normal day, I will interact with a lot of different people. People will check me out at the grocery store. I'll pass people on the street, and I will have hundreds of meaningless conversations about meaningless things. How's the weather, so to speak.
However, on the internet, when I'm talking with people who listen to my show or I'm talking to other people who share my enthusiasm for comic books, I have very meaningful conversations. More meaningful in this virtual space that everybody's kind of created than the actual face-to-face interaction I have.
Who's faster, Flash or Superman?
I have no flipping idea. He mentioned I'm Neil Gorman, and I'm like, dude, I've listened to your podcast so many times. It's not even funny. You know, I got it on my iPod right now. I got 2 episodes. I haven't about Nick Fury. I haven't even listened to yet.
Well, you know, I have to. For me, you know, yeah, I'm a huge
dude.
Geek.
I am a dork.
Well, I grew up. Most of my friends had nothing to do with comics, so I read comics since I was 10 years old. And most of my friends didn't read comics. We never talked about comics. That was never part of, you know, any of my friendships then. And now it's like, for the last few years, forums and the internet have really allowed me to, you know, express different opinions and get different opinions from people and talk and have these conversations about this thing that I have a passion about. Now, obviously, with the podcast, it's a completely different thing. But like you said, I mean, you know, and you know, coming to this convention in particular, to this show, and meeting everybody and hanging out with everybody was so much fun. And like, you know, David and Vince had said before, that really was the highlight, you know, for me of this weekend, was just hanging out with everybody and getting to meet everyone. And it was just so much fun to be able to, you know, hang out with a bunch of people that share the same enthusiasm for comics, other than Matt.
Oh, you make me cry. You know what, though? This is because I want to talk about this, too, because I haven't been to Wizard World Chicago in like 4 or 5 years. I used to go. This is kind of my closest con. And I used to come here when I was more into comics back in the 80s and 90s. But I never only, you know, I would only go. I had one friend that collected comics that we would go together. And,
the difference is, no.
And it's, well, now I have a lot of friends except for Mark. Who keeps the only guy that hits my negative karma every day for the last 3 months.
Sometimes twice a day if I'm good.
But my friends are striking back at you. What I'm talking about is that, you know, this is, you know, the weird thing about the internet, like you said, is, you know, we go from having like maybe one friend you talk about comics to, or maybe people have no friends that have comic interests. And, you know, for me, it's like, why should I go to the con? I'm going to be there by myself. It's not going to be fun. I don't know anybody. But now it's like, shoot, we got like 20, 30 people that we know that are going to be there.
If I read something really cool on Wednesday night, I open up my computer and I dial up Skype, and there's a guy in Pennsylvania that I'm like, dude, Vince, did you read this? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, it was great. Or I'd be like, oh, it was awesome. He's like, oh, I thought it sucked. Yeah, you know, I'm just like, okay, well, why? You know, and then there's a guy in Putnam Valley, New York, and I talk to these guys at least once a week. And, you know, conventions, you know, for me, yeah, it's about meeting creators, it's about going to panels, it's about, you know, digging through quarter boxes, but the number one thing is about meeting people that I know from these, you know, bizarre corners of the internet.
And it's part of, you know, some people say being involved in the internet's a negative thing because you isolate yourself from real people. But this is, you know, just like exactly the opposite. They're kind of coming together, actually taking something that, you know, a virtual community actually coming real.
Oh, right, boy.
Drink up.
Yeah, the whiskey just came out.
Anyway. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that, you know, a lot of times on the forum, like some of us use our pictures of ourselves as our like icons, and so people know what we look like. And other people use like pictures of Sandman and stuff as their icon. And so
that was you.
Who could he be talking about?
The weird thing is, like, I mean, how many reactions did we have this weekend of people like, dude, did you see what Papercut looks like?
Papercut made him
just way too handsome for them. That's what it is.
What Papercut looks like was the biggest revelation.
Absolutely.
It was like, dude, I thought he was some, like, 500-pound guy in his basement, you know?
You should have milked that up for another year.
You know, I was really I was shocked to find out that Vince was not black. And does not look like Sammy Davis Jr.
It's black where it counts. That's what she said.
I can't top that.
I actually have to agree with Matt. Okay, shut up out there. I have to agree with
Matt.
is that it no, who
can you can you just put that in a word?
On the fact that who had friends growing up, none of my friends liked comics. I had my brother, that was pretty good, but I mean, he's 5 years older than me. He was getting laid. I was reading comics. So, you ever had anybody?
Friends beat me up for reading comics.
I think you can pretty much knock them off the friend list for that one.
That's why I did the quote.
But who had friends growing up that read comics with you? It was just you, and then your buddies were like, oh, that's okay.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That was the whole thing.
Until now, I don't. Yeah, I didn't have anybody. I could read comics, and I'd show them to my wife and go, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty much it, you know? She'd go, that's nice, honey. Okay.
Vince?
I'm going to go in the bedroom.
I think the internet has taken the place of the fanzines. I think you'll back me up, Mark, on this. Back in the 70s, we didn't have a way to communicate with other
people. Are you implying
that I'm old?
We both are.
Yeah,
come on.
Okay, good point.
I mean, if you wanted to talk to other comic fans, you had to go actually mail a physical letter with you, you know,
and
to,
if you
to
mail
the
a
fanzines.
Letter, it means something.
Like Rockets Blast Comic Collector and the Comics Journal and all those. That was the way we met.
Boom.
Now, with the internet, it's light speed. It just expedited everything. We could do it in seconds, meet people, and it's just at a much quicker pace. But
when we were fans, they didn't even have paper.
They print comics on racks.
We sent smoke signals. But, the internet is basically fanzines souped up to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah, at white speed. White speed fanzines.
Well, I have a question, you know, as for you guys as podcasters, you know. I don't think you guys realized how much of an impact you had on an audience until you heard the San Diego panel. And when Around Comics came up, everybody started clapping.
That show is crap.
Those guys suck.
Cheering, and you guys mentioned in your next episode that it was like, wow, you know, that's
cool.
And you know, even you know, like three. I mean, well, there's Around Comics in here, the Comicology, and then there's Raging Bullets. So I'm kind of interested in seeing, you know, your perspective on the con, being the fact that, you know, we were talking about this kind of, you know, you've achieved kind of a pseudo celebrity of some sort. You know?
And actually, I totally space this out. David is a part of Comic Timing. So we actually have four podcasts here. So Ian won't send me
four and a half with Comics Cast.
Oh, absolutely. That's the man of a thousand podcasts.
Like, Raging Bullets. So, you know, did you guys have any exclusive access to DC? Because you guys are a DC podcast.
That's we're moving the mic across the room. And,
please hang on. Yeah, the mic is moving.
Okay, to piggyback onto that, Sean, you have anyone walk up to you and go, "I know your voice."
You know, it was funny when we were waiting in the line this morning. I had somebody who tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I think I know your voice." And it was like the oddest thing in the world to have somebody walk up and know you instead of from a... Because I have my picture up on the forum, too. But instead of that, to just pick me out based on my voice. And it was actually... It was a poor listener complained about my Silver Age review.
Nice.
No, you know what? His name was Greg. One of the greatest, nicest guys in the world. And we had a great talk about it this morning. But I was like, of all people, the poor guy. And he thought that I was, you know, being offensive in my Silver Age review. And by the end of it, we wound up on the same page. And that is, you were talking, Matt was talking about before. That's later, when he comes in here, too. with the Christopher Walken stripper.
I'm going to interrupt, but I remember this, what happened to me yesterday or the day before. I don't... There has been so much. But this was a really bizarre event, and it sort of plays into, you know, what we're talking about with the internet and how people talk about how it's, you know, it's causing people to separate and not communicate anymore. But I come to the con and I'm standing in the Marvel booth. We're waiting.
Oh, this is funny.
We're waiting for somebody. And this woman walks up to me and she says, "Oh, I see you have a press pass just like me." I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Could you help me? I'm trying to find out about somebody's schedule here at Marvel." I said, "Well, we know someone here that could tell you that, but he's not here right now. But if I see him, I'll be more than happy to, you know, show him." And so we start talking. Chris comes up and starts talking to her. And he happens to look at her badge, and he reads where, you know, the website she's from. I start laughing. After I look at her badge and I see her name, I just start laughing my ass off. And the reason was, about 3 months ago, I'm on the Warren Ellis forum, and I put up a review I did of Girls, the first trade paperback. And this woman comes on, and she just trashes it. the book and like anyone and that ever review. And my review and anyone that liked it. I mean, just rips it to pieces, right? And we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and then I ended up, you know, just saying something stupid to her. But I find out she's been a comic book reviewer for about 12 years, and after a while, I sent her an email apologizing to her and all this stuff, and I never heard back from her. Well, that's the woman standing in the Marvel booth.
Yeah, of all the people
in this con, you know, I don't know how many thousand of people in the building at the time, for her to walk up to me out of the blue and be this woman that had torn apart my review, and we had gotten to
the,
and then we had a great conversation. We talked about comics, and it was just so surreal for that to happen out of a weekend full of surreal things. But that was really bizarre, but at the same time, we sat there and then talked about comics for, you know, 20 minutes and laughed about it. And
did that end when you knocked that bitch out?
I did not. She was a very nice woman. Her name is Joanna Carlson, and she does a blog called Comics Worth Reading, and she's very bright, but it was just pretty funny.
And she is whip smart. She's a fantastic, fantastic person.
And I think we're gonna have her on the show sometime.
Neil, you had some.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange coming here and having people recognize me and know who I am. Somebody will tap me on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, are you Neil Gorman?" And I say, "Maybe."
Are you from the government?
Something like that, you know. And one guy came up to me today. This is actually, I should have answered this as my highlight question, to tell you the truth. He said that he is in the process of creating his own comic book. And, you know, he has a day job that he has to work at, and he does this by night. It's very slow going. It's really hard for him to do. And he would really like it if he could send me a few pages and I would review it. And he's like, you know, I understand if you're busy or you don't want to. And when somebody asks me that, when a creator who's working hard to create a book comes and asks me to review their book, that's the best compliment I might have ever received about my show. Because this is something that somebody's put their heart and soul into. They're working very hard to produce it. This isn't, you know, Rob Kirkman or Brian Bendis. Not that there's anything wrong with the products that they produce, but, I mean, for them to say, well, you review this, I kind of expect
that was,
stuff like that.
Or they're very delusional about your power.
But Marvel and DC send stuff out. They attempt to get reviews.
No, but we had the same experience. Chris and I talked about it quite a bit this weekend, was that, you know, Marvel, DC, you know, those guys could care less about really what we do or what, you know, but the smaller books, the guys that are fighting for every reader that they can possibly get, they look at podcasts as just another way to try and get some exposure for their book. And for us, like, the most rewarding thing is to hear from guys like Michael Oliveri, who said, you know, he told us that, you know, he got us, you know, a lot of his sales were from him being on our show. And for us, that's great, because we like Mike, we like his book, and for us to try and just maybe contribute back to the medium that we love so much, it makes any of it. I mean, that, you know, we just do this as a hobby. We love what we do. We do, you know, we love talking about comics. I mean, we're, you know, we'd do it if nobody was recording us, so it doesn't really matter. But for that, to hear that kind of feedback, to have somebody, you know, appreciate, you know, what we kind of do, is just awesome for us. I mean,
yeah, because we're just fans with microphones.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'd say, that the eye-opening experience for me is that participating on a forum can actually be something that is helpful, and it's something that I've decided that I need to do a lot more of. I mean, I have one on my site, but no one uses it, and I think that it might be that I need to go where some of the other forums are, and there's a huge user base there.
We'd never have an episode if it wasn't for our forum.
Yeah.
We'd never know what to talk about.
No, we'd never have an episode if it wasn't for Papercut. Chip?
Well, I was going to say that of all the books I bought, I didn't buy any DC or Marvel books from any of, you know, I didn't go to any.
Me either, not one.
There was no reason to. You know what? They'll make their money. It doesn't matter. You know, it's guys like Dave and Pat, you know, that's where it's like, you know, I'm more willing to. I want to go support those guys. You know, I hung out in Artist Alley all day. I went over and saw Mark at Dark Tower. That's the only vendor. And you know what? Honestly, sorry, Mark, I didn't buy anything from you.
Sorry, man, I got a 50-cent comic with your name on it. Sisters from Space. It's good.
Well, we had the experience. We were in the bar last night. Surprise, surprise. And we were talking about something, somebody we had ran into and talked to, and this guy walks up to us, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but Mail Order Ninja. He does a book for Tokyo.
Joshua...
Elders?
Yes.
Yeah, Joshua Elders. Yeah. He walks up to us, and he's like, hey, I couldn't help but Over here, yeah. You guys,
Elder.
I thought...
Joshua Elder.
You know, I do a book called Mail Order Ninja. He won the Tokyo Pop Rising Stars of Manga, and he just wanted us to take a look at his book and you know, give a review of it or whatever. And we've had that happen to us quite a bit this weekend of guys just wanting us to, you know, and it's like,
you know,
hey,
what, you know what freaked me out more than anything at this show? How many people that do comics live in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty wild to find out as many people.
Joshua's from Chicago.
Joshua.
Jeff Darrow.
Kramer.
Which we knew.
Jeff Darrow. Francesco.
Francesco from She-Dragon, a really fun book.
I think
that is one thing that I was very adamant about. I walked up, you know, Pat and Dave are there, and I'm like, Pat, I want to buy the issues for Path to Armageddon. He's like, here, take them. I'm like, no, I'm here to support you. And, you know, not support you. I mean, you're not fucking moving in with me or nothing. But, you know, I bought everything that I got at the con, and I think that's important. You know, it's go out and... It's important to go through Artist Alley and sample a lot of this stuff. Yeah, you can go and you can, you know, dig through a lot of the quarter boxes and do that. Find a lot of old stuff. But, man, hit Artist Alley. Find out what is out there. Go talk to these creators. They're hungry.
I think we spend more time in Artist Alley than anywhere else. I mean, there's...
I actually spent more time staying away from
I went
Dave.
By the Marvel booth, and I was just annoyed. I was just like...
Because
you know,
we
what?
Were standing
you know,
there the entire time waiting to talk to Joe Quesada.
I didn't see you there then, but, you know, it's like they're throwing out toys, they're throwing out comics, and, you know, it's people, me. I was like, man, you know what?
And not, I mean, nothing. Yeah. You know, I.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Marvel and DC books that I buy and I read and I love. It's just when I come to something like this, it's not. I mean, I want to meet, you know, those creators and but I can do it in other venues. You know, at the convention, I'm not going to stand in line for 20 minutes to, you know.
20.
Well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, whatever it may minutes. Be. But
there was a line. Okay. There was a line for Kevin Smith that had to be 5 football fields long today. It was crazy.
But there's so many great talented people in Artist Alley that, you know, are just, like, wanting somebody to check out their work.
You have a pretty good mix of people in Artist Alley. I mean, I was able to find a few people that I had no idea who they were, and actually some of them were just artists. And, I mean, I got a couple sketches from folks. I just liked their stuff. I thought it was cool. But then there was another chance, you know, I just walked up and, you know, Paulo Rivera is just sitting there working. Nobody's near him. I walked up, Tony Moore, nobody near him. I just had a chance to sit and talk to him for a minute, and it was just like, nice, just walk up and be like, thanks. And also, it's just kind of cool, like, you know, the guys from Horrorwood. I walked up, I said, thank you for putting out a great comic. You know, I don't need to pick it up at the con because it's on my pull list, and I think it's a great comic. But it's just cool to, like, and they were really thankful. They're like, that's cool. It's great to meet you. And, you know, I kind of talked to one of the artists. I was like, you know, how interesting is it to kind of sit here? And sometimes, like, people are almost like, if you don't know a name or you don't recognize their comic, you kind of don't want to make eye contact because you feel like you have to go talk to them. But I kind of made that effort to, like, if I didn't know something, I'd go up and I'd ask and I'd talk to people and just, you know, tell me what's going on with your comic, you know. And I think that it was kind of cool. I got a really great response from a lot of people that were just really just, like, happy and just, like, really engaged in talking to the fans. And it was a really great experience hanging out there, which you can't get that anywhere else, you know.
You're listening to Around Comics. You can even listen naked and no one would ever know. But seriously, I wouldn't go around telling people about that because it's pretty freaking weird.
Well, for the lay of the land for Wizard World Chicago and how it's broken out, you know, you can kind of look at four different segments of how it's split up. And you've got the panels, and that's all set on to one end of the convention. And then you have the big booths. You've got, you know, your Marvel, DC, the
Topco.
Spike.
IFL.
Then you have all of the retailers, which the retailer section is huge here, and it's a lot of fun.
There's a lot of great... Man, I saw some great deals, Dave, especially David and Vince, man. Those guys were pulling out... David was finding every great deal out there, and he bought some amazing stuff with...
He
just
the corner, right?
But what?
Yeah.
I'm
a Jew for a reason. I didn't see you near our booth.
Are you kidding? He was digging through it today. I saw it.
The Red Sun? Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Did you order books, though?
No.
Okay. What's so funny is that
like 150 long boxes a quarter.
David and Vince, you know, they work in pairs, and they're rifling through quarter boxes, and David would pull out a comic. He's like, Vince, and Vince would either like look at it and nod his head yes or nod his head no, and they'd be like, all right, I need like two more to get the 50% off discount, and Vince would be like, no, that's too late in the run. You don't want that one. You know, and it's just like, you know, it's like, man, these guys like have a game plan. Yeah, it's like, you guys probably rifled through like, you know, 10,000 comics today. So
finally, a full run of Rom Space Knight.
Hey, Sal's been working on the complete Badger run.
I got Matt found actually for me the
the first
8 issues of Badger from the Don Rosa collection for $12. That I thought that was a steal.
Certified with a
from the Don Rosa collection.
Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
I also got I bought
Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Come on, you work in a comic.
You work
shop.
In a comic shop. Okay.
But I found Badger.
Whatever. I don't live in fucking Disney World.
And I got a Bill Reinhold sketch of Badger. So yes. You know, awesome. Can. And Mark Norton's bringing me a page tomorrow for I think he's selling it to me for a Jack and Coke.
Nice.
Page for Badger, and
I think the question was how much you want for it. He says, "What do you got on you?" Jim.
Well, see, with me, this is not only the very first comic con I've ever been to in my entire life. I'm relatively new into comics, so this whole experience has just been. I've been walking around going, like a deer in the headlights, and it was just like, "What's this? What's this? Oh, wow!" You know.
This whole Raging Bullets new guy bullshit has got about 6 more months, and then you're a veteran. So come up with a new shtick, pal.
Okay.
He asked a great question. We were in the Brian Wood panel, and he asked Brian Wood. He's like, you know, I'm just getting into comics. What would you suggest I read of your work? That would, you know, and I'm just like, wow, that's a great question
great
to
question.
Ask, you know, for
great
somebody
question.
That you know doesn't know. And then I told him to read, you know, 3 other books that Brian didn't say. But
and I did pick up DMZ.
The first trade.
Mm-hmm. So. I picked that up.
Supermarket.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to borrow that first because I'm a cheap son of a gun.
Let's talk about some Wizard World news.
Which I do want to preface by saying that the announcements at Wizard World have been woefully lacking, my opinion. Okay.
Neil, what do you got? What do you got?
Being an enormous fan of Brian Wood, this is something that apparently just got worked out at the very beginning of this con, I think Thursday night, they said.
Yeah, he announced it.
He announced it at the panel that you and I were both at. Brian Wood is going to be writing a new comic book for DC Vertigo, and it is going to be a comic book about Vikings called Northlander.
And it's a monthly.
Yeah.
It's a new monthly.
I did not ask. And this is super interesting because people who are a fan of Brian Wood's work, you know, I think Brian Wood, I don't think Vikings. So this is something that apparently the Vertigo editor said, you know, we love what you do, but we want you to do something which is outside of your comfort zone. And this is what he came up with. So I think that this is going to be something which is going to be phenomenal because Brian Wood tells great stories that really get into the personalities of his characters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think he's going to be writing just your typical axe swinging, raping, pillaging.
Well, I think that might be the interesting thing though, because there's going to have to be a certain amount of action and adventure, you would think, to any Viking book. And absolutely. He said, you know, I mean, that interests him. But it's going to be really interesting to see what he does with it, because like you said, he's not really known for that kind of work. I mean, Supermarket to some degree has some action in it, but overall most of it, and DMZ, but from a third person almost point of view, the action is not, you know, relative to the characters that much. So that's going to be cool to see what he does on a Viking book.
You were talking about the Swedes for a second. I had to step out.
No, we were talking about Brian Wood.
Oh,
but and well, also Swedes, he announced that he signed a 2-year deal with Marvel or with DC. Mm-hmm. So that's good to hear that he's going to make some money.
I have a question. When I think of Brian Wood, I think of puppy dogs and ponies and rainbows. What does anybody else think about him?
Puppy dogs.
I think he's the one of the best writers working in comic books today. Actually, he's something that a lot of people have not heard of. But right now, the comic book that I look forward to more than any other comic book any month is DMZ.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's not as good as local. It's not as good as local.
Oh, I disagree.
Local is such a good book.
Has everybody here read some Brian Wood?
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit, except for you, fuck up. So really, everybody in the room has actually read Brian Wood, right?
Local is a brilliant book.
What is everybody's favorite DMZ? Yeah. Have you guys read DMZ? Every one of you?
Yeah.
You
read it.
Dave, you have not read DMZ yet?
I have not read.
That's the one. So I'm going to tell you what happens in the what was the other story we were going to spoil for him too? Okay, I'm just saying, if anybody there has not read DMZ, you're completely right. It's one of the most fantastic friggin' books, and I didn't read it till probably the fourth issue.
Yeah.
It hasn't been done yet. Some people compare it a lot to Transmet because they're both journalism books, but DMZ is not a copy.
Not even close.
And it is a book which is so socially relevant at this particular point in time, and the storytelling is so tight. So you get a great story which is so culturally relevant, and it's a book that Americans have to read.
Should I tell the funny? Because I asked Neil asked Brian some great questions, and I asked him some silly ones in the panel. But the one was he had talked about turning down different offers, mainstream offers, high profile books, and online he had mentioned that before, and so I asked him to comment on it, and he said that. You know, sometimes it's really soul-sapping when they offer him different works that he just doesn't understand. He said one time he was offered, they wanted him to write Thundercats. And he's like, he's like, really? That's what you think of my work? I mean,
so you read Couriers and said, Thundercats.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, I don't...
Badass with Anthro.
Yeah.
What did they
expect? Yeah, with... But I absolutely, DMZ is a phenomenal book. And one of the questions I wanted to ask him, I didn't get a chance to, was, you know, it seems to me in that book he has such a perfect place where he could really, really push the boundaries of commentary. And it seems that they really pull back from that. And I wonder if that's Vertigo doing that or if it's him doing it. You know,
I think
it's more subtle. I don't think
they hogtie him on that book at all.
But I mean, you would think he could really just go off and
you notice how that's like the only book that's associated with the big two that is a direct commentary. The thing is, you have Civil War, you have to some extent on the DC side with the Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters kind of, you know, playing with
commenting
the
on,
of
but
on,
well,
Chip,
we do have Batman versus the Al Qaeda coming out.
Yeah, there is that.
You know what? A lot of people give Frank Miller crap for that, but you know, if he wants to do something like that and it is relevant, go ahead. You know, sometimes we wish in the real world that we had a Batman that could just go beat the shit out of the people that fuck up the rest of the world.
We've been panning the idea of this book for months, and why it's going to come out to be really good.
It'll win a Nobel Peace Prize or something. You know,
I'll take that back. I don't give Frank Miller crap for writing Batman versus the Al Qaeda. I gave him crap for writing All-Star Batman and Robin.
Nah, we're not getting...
That's the best comedy title in the stands right now. Funniest book in the world.
We are so not getting on that crap stand. Okay.
But Robin's Frank, okay.
Frank. I still love that book, Frank.
All right.
Back to the con.
Any other news? What other news do we have?
Well, we're talking about panels, and panels are where a lot of the news is. Best panels that you guys have been to so far?
Did anybody attend the Young Guns announcement?
Wasn't
that
the
Young Guns? I tried to go.
I didn't get to it.
Did DC have any announcements at DC Nation?
They didn't really have a whole lot of announcements. All it was just a big Q&A session. DiDio basically set it up, and I don't know if he's blown smoke out of his ass or what, but he set it up where, you know, we want you guys to be honest with us, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, and he asked a lot of questions, kind of like, well, what do you think of this, you know, what do you think of that, you know, took the good with the bad. It's just a lot of people ask just kind of like little niggling questions.
So no news.
No.
There was
some interesting
stuff from a Marvel panel. I don't know if it's been announced at San Diego or not.
What do we got?
Jeff Loeb and Michael Turner are going to be teaming up to make a Ultimate Wolverine.
Which yeah, that's their big announcement here this year.
Fucking shoot me now.
Yeah. Apparently, the big announcement was that.
Isn't there already an Ultimate Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the origin of Wolverine in the Ultimate Universe, which is going to be different than the origin of Wolverine in the regular.
But yeah, but it's going to be different than the original origin of Ultimate Wolverine in the Ultimate Universe.
And will it get out before the third issue of Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk?
When you're saying that, I also have some news about the Ultimates if people want to hear that, but I don't want to just hog a microphone.
Yeah, sure, no, it. No.
Sure, go ahead.
Here's a story that Joe Quesada told about Ultimates. It's supposed to be wrapping up. Ultimates, the second miniseries right now. Issue 12 has not come out. When he first got the script for issue 12, it was 36 pages as opposed to the regular 22. And he asked Millar, however you pronounce his name, if he could... Okay, Millar. I say Millar.
But I've heard it Millar by people work with him. Paul Jenkins called him Millar.
Whatever. Everybody knows what they're talking about.
Whatever.
It's fucking Millar while I'm here, okay?
Okay, fine. Anyways, he turned this in, and Quesada's like, instead of having 36 pages, can we bump this up to 44 and give you two issues? And Millar said, I think I can probably do that, but let's check with Brian Hitch and see if he can do it. And they checked with him, and he said, yeah, I can probably do that, too. Just pay me my money. So, They get this worked out, and they turn in the final script for issue 12. And it's not 22 pages, it's 26. Quesada steps back and says, fine, I'll live with it, and he sends it off to Brian Hitch. Brian Hitch is drawing it. He calls up Quesada and says, I need 36 pages to tell this story. End result being that issue 12 is going to be 36 pages, and now there's also going to be an issue 13.
Oh.
Cool. Any news from Ronan?
News from Ronan. We can't talk about
they're
that right
still,
now.
Yeah, they're yeah. still here.
There's something going on, but we can't talk about it here. Not here. Not now.
Can we get the exclusive on that?
You guys will hear about it.
Oh, we'll get the exclusive. And around
you guys will get the
exclusive.
Yeah, you guys will get
selling
the
selling out.
What's that?
That would be awesome.
Dave dreams of the day he has the opportunity
to offer. Hey, Jim.
Sean, did you have anything for the panels? I know you went to a bunch of panels.
You guys went
to those guys were at the DC panel, so I don't know if you want to. Maybe you had a better memory than I did.
Well, no, honestly, what Matt said was there wasn't any direct news. They, like, danced around and hinted at certain things. Like, there was a great question somebody asked about the future of the All-Star line. You know, is there going to be an All-Star Green Lantern? And they sort of seemed to say yes.
I thought they actually did say yes to a Green Lantern, and yes, there's going to be other All-Star lineups.
Are they all going to take that long to get out?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Hey, I don't know. All-Star Superman could come out once every 6 months, and I will be fine with me because that book is worth it every time I get it.
It is, but it doesn't make it.
That book, I don't care.
That didn't make sense.
It drives me crazy.
Shut up.
It's not finished. Just make it worse. Just say every 2 months. It's coming out every
Grant
two months.
Morrison and
Quit
Frank Quietly.
Crying about late books. Ass, I think.
That's the retailer in you. So, sorry, go ahead.
They talked more about All-Star Wonder Woman with Adam Hughes.
Okay.
Which he's going to be writing and drawing it. Which is another one I'm honestly wondering about. We're talking about on time. How on time is that going to be with him doing the writing and the art on it?
Now, Jim, first con, right? How'd you like the panels?
Actually, they were kind of neat. Yeah. There's a couple of points where I just wanted to get up and smack somebody who was asking a question. They were just like, now when you did, and you just like wanted to yell, ask a damn question.
We had a guy in it was funny, we had a guy in the Marvel panel. Civil War, and Joe Quesada was up there, and he was trying to, you know, obviously you could tell from the crowd's reaction, there were a lot more Cap fans than Iron Man fans, as far as Civil War is concerned.
That's what it should be.
And I think it's, I think it's, you know, as comic fans, I think it's easier to take Cap's side, and he was trying to explain that, but he's also trying to explain that they're not trying to portray one side or the other in favor of one or the other, and he was trying to give examples of why Tony Stark has a good opinion, or a good point. And he wanted to tell a little story. He said, okay, imagine if you're in this convention and you're in this room and all of a sudden like 100 guys in masks with AK-47s charge in and start covering every exit and they just go, don't worry, we're here for your protection. You'd freak out. And it was a pretty good analogy, you know, or metaphor. And all of a sudden this guy gets up and he's like, you know, I just can't accept that. And it was okay. It was just like, what –
what? Why would you bother getting up and saying that? What's the point? What do you? If you don't understand what he's trying to tell you, just sit down and shut up. There's no point to trying to argue with someone. You know,
was he dressed as a fat Ghostbuster?
I don't know what he was dressed like, but
was he dressed as three fat Ghostbusters?
But some of the questions are pretty silly sometimes. People get into the minutiae of comic books so much.
You know, I was telling Sal, we're walking in back into the con after having lunch today. I was like, you know, it's been a really nice con because I haven't heard so many ridiculous arguments around the convention floor, you know, the fanboy argument. I think, you know, from what I'm seeing in this con, I hope the comic fans are growing up a little bit. I hope. I feel it. You know, it's more of these 30 and 40-year-old guys, and they're not arguing about the ridiculous stuff. But you do have guys that stand up at these panels and go, you know, that answer isn't good enough. So, yeah.
There was this one part at the Ultimate panel. A guy stood up and said, just addressed Marvel, and he was like, he was angry when he was saying this. I cannot stress how angry he was. Why is it that you decided to make Thor an anti-American, troop-hating son of a bitch or something like that?
I agree with that question. I want to know an answer, damn it.
So Jeff Lowe, same guy was in San Diego. This guy keeps following them every time.
Just pissed off.
Cassandra recognizes him every time.
He wore a mask, actually. He had a mask on, and when he got asked the question, he tore the mask off. So
good
maybe Lord. It is. Then Lowe answers, he goes, listen here, buddy. That's because Mark Millar is a commie pinko Scottish bastard. That's why. Fixing it.
Nice.
That's
the news, I suppose. Talking about people that stood up, one of the things that did come out during the DC Universe panel that I just remembered is a guy stood up, a middle-aged black guy, and he kind of was really contentious and said, you know, basically we've gotten one black character in a decade for 30 years. When are you going to be more, you know, multicultural or whatever in the DC Universe? And you know, I think they've been seriously doing that a lot the last couple of years. But his Mr. point, Miracle. DiDio's point was just that, look, we don't want to just throw some character out there like they did in the 60s or 70s, like black so-and-so, and it's going to just be a flop, and no one's going to buy it anyway. So we want characters that you care about that are of different origins, like Mr. Terrific. And the other thing, and this is kind of news, and I don't know if it is news or not, but he basically said that Jon Stewart is going to be the Green Lantern in the Justice League book.
The same person you were talking about, DiDio was talking to him afterwards, and he even went further with him, and he said, one of the things we're trying to do now is we're looking at the fact that introducing characters who are more diverse has been very unsuccessful for us in the past. So we're trying to put them in team books. We're trying to give them opportunities to build a readership. And you mentioned Mr. Terrific and JSA. He said you're going to be happy with the Justice League lineup. They're trying to put them in situations where they have an opportunity to build a fan base before they branch them out into solo opportunities. Because before, they've thrust them out as solo books and have just had like little to no success because there's been nothing to get people to latch onto them initially. And they're hoping now that maybe trying this approach, they said in the next year they're going to be really trying hard to slowly introduce these characters and hopefully build up a readership about them. So
I know how you do. I know how you'd introduce a black character. You just team him up with a white guy who knows kung fu. That's all you got to do. And
and then have Matt, and have Matt and have Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker.
There you go, and right, so, and you're good to go, baby. I love Luke Cage.
Hello, I'm Kieran Gillen, writer of Phonogram, and well, just Phonogram. You're listening to Around Comics.
All right, wrap up here. Because we're running a little long
Let's let Dan do the conclusion.
final thoughts.
Best buy of the convention for everyone.
Best buy.
Best buy. What was the one thing that you got that you wrote? And I know, Dan, you start.
I know I got that Umbra issue that Chris was top of the stack. The $6 book that Dave loves. For a whopping $1, so what's that per page, Dave?
That actually pisses me off.
I'm not the per page guy.
Umbra, great book. If you can pick it up for $1, definitely get it for $6. It's still worth it. I don't care what you say.
Black and white pages for $6.
A scar tissue will give you full color for three.
Oh. Dustin, best buy of the con.
I picked up Uncanny X-Men number 96, which I've always wanted, so it's pretty cheap. I got it for like half off. It was like $20. It
cool.
was ridiculous and good shape.
Awesome. Sean?
Steve Englehart Justice League run. I was really looking forward to getting that, so.
Fantastic. How much?
The whole thing. $75.
The
entire thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a nice score.
Excellent. Damn. Jim?
Wonder he needs a suitcase.
Oh, crap. I don't know. I got all of Outsiders, almost all of Teen Titans, all the Green Lantern, and pretty much every single one of them was almost undercover price.
We're going to make a Marvel fan of you yet.
I did not buy a single Marvel thing. I bought all DC.
Oh, and for anybody that listens to Raging Bullets, I just want everybody to know that I did see Sean walking around with a full stack of Civil War that he bought.
Yeah. So.
I will admit I've gone a little bit to the dark side.
It's so good.
It feels so good, Sean.
We're sitting in the Civil War panel, and Sean nudges me. He's like, man, I think I'm going to have to... I'm going to start reading this. This is good stuff.
I already had my stack in the Civil War.
So good. But Sean is just a comic fan, but he does a fantastic DC podcast. Sean, real quick, Raging Bullets, tell us about it, where to find it, all that good
stuff. RagingBullets.com. And if you want to email me, RagingBullets@gmail.com. We do episodes every week. We do reviews of DC Comics. We do regular DC, Wildstorm, Vertigo, anything they publish. So we try to hit everything. So.
It's a great podcast.
Nothing.
Pat, best, even though you haven't been able to shop at all, probably.
No shopping, just sketches. If commissions count, I would say my Phil Hester Thanos sketch. It's a... penciled by Phil and inked by Andy Parks. Nice. It's beautiful.
Outstanding. Dave?
I had a great ham and cheese sandwich with mayo and a Coke. It only cost me like $12. It was great. Yeah, I haven't been able... I've been away from the table probably a total of about 48 minutes over 3 days, so I haven't bought anything.
It's been a drawn bastard.
Yeah, apparently Pat has been away from it much more than you, my friend.
Yeah, I don't know how that
works. Lots of bathroom breaks.
Yeah, I don't know why he's going on bathroom breaks. I mean, why did I even, I don't know. Why did I bring the bottle if you're not going to use it?
It's kind of difficult to undress right in front of all these people, and I got enough cameras on me already.
Well, your pants are off now.
Between us.
But hopefully I'll be able to get out tomorrow and look around.
Nice.
I hope.
Matt, your best buy of the con?
Well, it's kind of slow to buy a lot of things because we're sort of going around talking to people, whatever. But today I bought a couple of I got a Spirit Archive, World's Finest Archive at half price. Off-Road, the book that you guys have been pimping for forever, and so it better rock my world or I'm going to come after you.
I'll give you the $5 for it if you don't want
it. Oh, okay. And I bought a copy of The King for $10 after Sal picked one up the other day. I was inspired.
Nice. Mr. Price, out of that gargantuan pile of crap you have sitting over here in the corner of the room, what's your best buy of the week?
Oh. Right now I think it's a toss-up between... Dan wants to kick my ass for buying Desolation Jones 1-6 for $1 apiece.
That is wrong. That is wrong that you got Desolation Jones for $6.
Deal ever again, but I'll. Oh no, I know exactly where it was. I'll show you tomorrow.
Show me them, won't you?
Yeah. And Vince thinks the Hulk oversized hardcover Return of the Monster for $15 was a pretty good deal.
Nice.
So, I wonder what was a best buy until I get home.
Yes, yeah, and we still have a whole day of shopping left. So, Vince?
The best thing I got at the con wasn't anything I bought. I got a lot of good stuff, but Chris and Sal took the convention program with the scintillating artistic stylings of Mr. Greg Land on it. And... I swear they took it to everyone they came in contact with. There must be 50 autographs on the front of this. If there's one, there's at least 50. Greg Land, Joe Quesada, John Romita Jr., Tony Moore. John Romita Jr. is the best one. There's no question.
Is it worth
Whereas allegiances are, we already knew.
Who help me out? Who else is on there?
Angel Medina, Andy McDonald,
Tom Brevoort,
Steve Sabluski, Jim Starlin,
Ivan Brandon, Andy McDonald,
Peter David,
Jeremy Hahn.
It's insane.
Mark Sable.
Anybody we could get.
It's something that I'm gonna. You know, it's one of those things that. Screw the whole collection, sell it. That's probably the one thing I would keep.
Vince, number one, happy birthday. Number two, thank you for being a great comic fan and a great friend.
You're my buddy. Yeah. Sal.
The Candyman can.
All right, top that, Chip.
Man, I don't know how to top that.
Dave Wachter also. Yes, Dave
Wachter. Who? Pat wasn't at the table. He was off on one of his pee breaks when we came around.
I'd have to say that it was probably, you know, and I hope Tony Moore's wife's not listening to this podcast. I think, you know, because she would probably get ticked off if I mentioned the hardcover. Mm-hmm. He gave it to me for $10.
Wow.
And he signed it.
Screw the guy.
I mean, that's, well, you know, he's selling it for 30. So, I mean, that's probably the best deal that I got. But, you know, I'd have to say that, you know, the fact that I walked up to you guys and I was like, hey, I'm Weak Rocker on the forums. And you're like, here's a t-shirt. And I'm like, sweet. Fresh t-shirt, because I was starting to smell.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah, the mouse guard sketch.
Yeah, that's really cool, too. But, you know, and it was funny, though, because I didn't believe the thing about the smell at cons.
Oh, it's
but
true.
You know what? It's true, and it's a bunch of people smelling like hamburgers walking around.
It wasn't that bad here. I'll tell you that. It isn't as bad here. You should try coming to San Diego for the full effect.
Hamburgers apparently don't smell as nice.
Sal and I kept smelling onions. The entire
day. I thought it was you.
Hamburgers. You know, but it's funny though. I went over to the hotel and to the gift store, and I bought a stick of deodorant because, you know, Dave told me, he was like, man, I bring one with me, you know, and I was like, damn it, I wish
was
I
that, was that your first stick of deodorant?
Yeah, that was my first one.
Neil, your best buy of the con.
It's actually a local Chicago guy who I've been following his work for a while, and there was two things I didn't have, and I picked him up here. Cost me, I think, $20. It's Jeff Brown. He does all of his stuff through Top Shelf Comics, mm-hmm. which is a company that I adore giving my money to more than I think any other comic book company out there right now. Yeah. I mean,
Top Shelf probably had the most amazing collection of books for any company's booth at a venue. Top Shelf's
and there was
booth
deals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything
oh,
yeah. was cheap.
Yeah. Which I bought like four books from them.
I got Unlucky and I got Clumsy. And the cool thing is if you were buying books from Jeff Brown, he was doing a little sketch on the inside of the cover for you right then and there, and it was really, really cool. I was happy to get him.
Dustin got the same thing. Amazing table sketches. They're fantastic. Ape Entertainment was doing the same thing. I got a great black coat sketch by was Ben from Ben Lucius, who's the co-creator of Black Coat. Great stuff. But Top Shelf's booth was amazing at this show.
And it was small, too. And it just shows that even if you have like a very tiny booth, you can pack a lot of really quality stuff into it. And the people there spoke to you. They were busy
all weekend, which was good to see.
Love the Top Shelf stuff.
If you don't give your money to Top Shelf, you should.
Yes, please. Absolutely. And we will have them on Around Comics because we talked to Chris Santos.
Chris Santos.
Yeah. And so we're going to be talking more and more.
And we may have Jeffrey Brown.
Yes. Yes.
I'm probably going
to have Staros. Yeah. So many people. Your best buy or best sale, maybe. Or best buy, whatever.
Sales is average, whatever.
Okay.
Sales are all good. Money's money. Probably say the Tony Moore sketch is, and the Jeremy Hahn one. They're both equal because they're such great sketches both, but that Tony Moore one is absolutely classic.
It's funny.
And I also got, because I am gay for Captain America, I got a Captain America Jack in the Box.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Literally a Captain America Jack in the Box. I could not help buying this. Literally, just I'm guessing maybe it's like, you know, I don't know, Hail to the Chief. I don't know. Yeah, Stars and Stripes forever. I don't know. And pops Captain America. So I've got that to scare the shit out of myself at 3:00 in the morning.
Sal, we have bought damn near nothing. I mean,
I bought a ton. Are you kidding
me? Well, I mean, okay. as far as like, you
I spent like $400 this weekend on friggin' comic books, man. And I didn't. I, yeah, I don't know what. No,
did
not
your
that
wife
much.
Need I, did, I never felt like
I
we went out on like
the show.
It's what I never felt like we went out shopping.
No, it was just like I would see something and get it, and I got a bunch of stuff signed. It's hard for me to, you know, deals. I don't know. I'm gonna put it in like a time spent kind of thing. I mean, the we stood around and waited for like maybe, you know. Well, between yesterday and today, we stood around for a couple hours trying to get John Romita Jr. on the show. Wow. And the 15 minutes sitting on the floor with him was, you know, well worth anything that we went through.
You and we'll, I don't know if it'll come out before this episode or after this episode, but you and Vince did an interview with John Romita Jr. that was 15 minutes of uber geekdom for me to just sit there and go, we're sitting down with John Romita Jr. and laughing with this guy. And oh, my God, Sal just asked him about the mullet.
Yes!
I did.
Was anybody snuggling with him?
We wanted to. And you know what?
He was the nicest guy and so gracious. And the last few years I've met a lot of creators and drank with a few of them and other things with a few. I don't generally get too starstruck with these guys too much. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was having a hard time keeping the microphone from shaking talking to him because just such a huge fan of his work. And he couldn't be a nicer guy. I mean, he's just funny and literally. We were literally sitting on the floor. We were literally sitting on the floor with them, talking for like 15 minutes, and it was. Yeah. We have pictures of it, and we're gonna play it. But that was the highlight. And
Vince, we'll get your, because this was the convention highlight for me. John Romita Jr. was the most gracious, inviting guy that
he's funny, charming.
John Romita is so good; he could be an asshole. And you would still buy his stuff and like it.
Right.
Not a nicer guy. And
humble
amazing.
I've never met a more humble man. As far as that level of talent. Pretty much the only one living who could shine Jack's shoes. And the guy comes out and he gives you his time, sits there and talks to you like you're an equal, you know? I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm getting
He's self-deprecating. He doesn't take it too serious. He doesn't.
Right.
I mean,
funny. Oh my God, funny.
It's just great. Yeah. You'll hear the interview and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that definite con highlight. So.
And that's it. That's it. When I see him on the floor, I'm just running up to him and giving him a hug.
You should.
In fact, I may just buy him.
He could. I bet he could probably bench press you. Did you ever see his arms? The guy's built.
Oh, and I wanted to say we found out because. When the Eternals were when it was first sort of announced that the Eternals were coming out, and Neil Gaiman had put on his board a couple of preview pages. I had posted an article on our site about it with a picture of John Romita Jr. And someone came onto our site and said and posted a comment on the picture. Says why does my nose look so big? And it was signed JRJR. And I went to Chris and I'm like, no, there's no, it's somebody screwing around.
Yeah, it's
well,
no way.
It was John Romita Jr. that came to me. Because he says whenever books are coming out, he goes on Google and he searches for reviews and articles about the stuff. And he'll go on and just screw around. And he's like, yeah, that was me. He's like, when was that, like 3 months ago? I'm like, yeah, that was about 3 months ago. Yeah, that was me. And I couldn't believe it. So that was just pretty amazing to hear him say that. And you'll hear the rest in the interview.
Well, guys, I guess that's probably Oh, we got one more. Yes.
The quiet man.
Didn't you? Oh, Dan. You're by.
What did you buy?
My umbra.
The umbra. Yeah.
So quiet about it. We
paper
forgot.
Cut. Listening.
By the time we got to the end, we'd already forgot about
Dan
it.
Dan doesn't have a keyboard, so he's so quiet. all right.
Just give you like a little.
We got a couple announcements here, and we're gonna wrap things up. We are now proud members of the Comics Podcast Network, which is headed up by Neil Gorman. Thank you very much, Neil. All right, we got to work on the website.
For sure.
The CPN is a collection of the best Comics Podcast Network or Comics Podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. The forum, as always, we love you guys. This is our first big forum meetup. Week Rocker, Vince, David, Matt S., Pat Leica, Citizen Dave, Dustin, Papercut. You guys are every day. We spend time with you virtually, and it's been awesome.
Oh yeah, it's easily the like we said before, the best part of the show is meeting everybody and hanging out.
So
it
guys,
for such a great time.
Thank you from me and Sal.
And
thank you.
Let's give a big round of applause for ourselves.
Yeah. I rock.
And Dark Tower, of course. You guys are amazing. We post new episodes every Tuesday on the forum, and you can give your input. We appreciate it to unleash the research monkeys to give us
the evil monkey crew.
The evil monkey crew, so we can have stuff to talk about. The July-August contest, Write Tom's Comic. The listener LCS challenge, please download our flyer, and you heard all about that at the beginning of the show. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. We'd love to see an iTunes review if you have the time. Our sponsor today, youbynow.com, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank everyone here. It's Mark, Neil, Chip, Vince, David, Matt, Pat, David, Jim, Sean from Raging Bullets, Dustin, Dave, and Dan, and Sal. As always, you are my partner in crime and the producer of the show. We miss Tom. He's out at Wallapalooza. Everyone, have a fantastic week. Matt Kramer. Yes.
Matt Kramer.
And,
yeah, he was here.
And
Pamp. The Pamp.
The Pamp was here. Who else?
Michael Oliveri.
Cullen Bunn.
Cullen Bunn.
Zumbini was here.
Bernie. Bernie Gonzalez.
Steve. Everyone. Everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.